This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So we just came back from this great mission trip. And the people who went with me, at least most of them, are coming up now. And they are getting into position as if we were in our closing circle in the night. Every morning and every evening, we would gather in a circle and we would have prayers and we would reflect on the work that we did that day in the Dominican Republic. We carried these lights out from here. We carried these lights out from here at the 7:45 a.m. service last Sunday. And the commissioning prayer that Father Marty said to us was, go forth and love as Jesus loves. Go forth and love as Jesus loves. I'm going to sit here. You can sit right there. I'm going to sit right here. You're good. Oh, we have one more. Thanks, Matt. You can sit opposite me, Tiffany, right there if you would. Well, then we'll be in order. I didn't count. So we were commissioned to go out and love as Jesus loved. And that's not always easy. It's not always easy. And you're going to hear what I witnessed this week, that each of these people and the others that went with us loved as Jesus loved in a rich and profound way. We began our closing circle with prayer. We'll end it with prayer. And I'd like you to pretend that you're just kind of eavesdropping in on a similar conversation that we may have been having in our circle. So we begin with prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we tended to your children in the DR, not with words, but by our actions. We didn't preach, we hugged. We tried with all our might to let your light shine through us. Please help me to continue to let your light shine, not just now, but for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So day one, we went to a little village called Gautier. It's a very, very poor village. And we had been collecting uniforms and shoes for children that cannot go to school because they don't have shoes. And we delivered 200 uniforms and shoes to the children in Gautier. We also began painting an entire church that was right next door, Santo Tomas, on that first day. And we also began a photo project, which I'll let Joan explain to you what it is.
We went into the village and set up in the church hall, and the children just come from nowhere. They just arrive, and we're overflooded
Closer.
With children.
Closer.
We did pictures of each individual child, and then we mounted the pictures with them and then had them decorate, and the joy of the children was unbelievable. Most of them had never seen their own photograph, and this was like a souvenir to them of everything. They would take their photos home after they decorated them and hang them on a nail somewhere in their house, as these people don't have refrigerators to put magnets on like we do. But the people in the village were so excited with this. We did it 2 years ago, and they were so excited about it then, they kind of wanted a repeat performance. So we put the photographs in basically the same format, so now they have another photo, an update of themselves. So it was a very worthwhile thing for these people to see something that is foreign to them.
We went to the school, and there were tons and tons and tons of
Closer.
Children lined up outside, and just they were so humble and so happy and thankful to receive these shoes. There were children outside who couldn't go to school because they didn't have shoes, and it was kind of hard to say no, but it was a very amazing experience.
They were reaching in through the windows, and we couldn't look them in the eye because we didn't have enough for all the children, and their hands were just coming in through the windows, and we couldn't do anything.
Well, I was painting the church, and I took a break because a lot of the kids from the neighborhood and the church came in and were playing, so I played with them. And this one boy came up to me, and he started talking to me, and he was so excited, and I had no idea what he was saying, but I smiled, and I hugged him, and then I kept playing. And then a minute later, he tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around, and probably his best toy that he ever had was this broken bike with one pedal and broken brakes and no paint, and he was so happy to share with me, and he wanted me to ride it, so as scared as I was, I got on and I rode it, and they were chasing me around on the bike, and it was a lot of fun, and it was just so sweet that they wanted to share that with me, what little they had, just because we were giving with them. And I also made one close little buddy who would follow me around all week. And we went on a tour one of the days of the neighborhood, and he pointed out his house, and he was telling me about his family. And on the last day, he got his mom to come, and he introduced me to her. And it was so sweet.
Day two. We finished painting a complete church on the outside, and then we delivered the school supplies that had been donated by many of you, and we thank you for that. We also began a cultural exchange under the leadership of our Professor Miguel, and it was so rich that we were able to be there and learn as much from them as they did from us. More, really.
And that was the day that we said, where did we see Jesus' light shine? And during this cultural exchange, I had these two boys. And they were not doing real well on filling out the form. So they then had to erase, and they didn't really have an eraser. And he's trying to borrow it from the kid behind him, and his eraser was pretty much gone. So I walked over and asked Mike, I said, listen, could I get a couple of pencils? He said, sure, they're right over there. So I take these two pencils back. They immediately get it and start erasing. Then they look up and hand it back to me. And I said, no, it's yours, you know. The look on their face was like, what? You're giving this to me? And they thanked me. And then after we filled the form out and we went back again, they thanked me again for these two pencils. The gratitude was beyond any kind of words or any kind of feeling. It was incredible.
During that same cultural exchange, I was in the back of the room with a group of, they were a little older boys, probably about 12 years old. And we were sitting there and we were talking, and well, they were trying to talk to me, and I know zero Spanish. So it was very difficult to try and communicate. And I noticed we had finished Mike's worksheet that he had given us to kind of go over together. And they wanted to know more about me because I had mine and I was showing them what I wrote down, so they were kind of getting to know me, so they wanted to know more and more and more, and I noticed he was flipping through a book, and it was his notes, and this was an English class, and it was Spanish to English translations and words, so he would point to the Spanish word that he knew, and I would read the English word that I knew, and we began putting sentences together, and when I noticed, and he noticed that we were actually not just pointing, but communicating now, and that I could understand him, that he could understand me. The light in his face, he was just so thrilled to be able to actually get to know me. We talked about family and baseball, which they love, and just everything under the sun. It was so exciting to be able to communicate. It was really enriching.
And what Nick was saying really holds true. When we walked into the room, I had no idea what to expect. And fortunately, the day before, I believe the theme was, don't worry, be happy. And there were lots of schedule bumps in the road, and the cultural exchange evolved from plan A to B to C and so on. And when we walked into the room, we realized the proficiency of the children wasn't what we thought. But as testimony to Nick, it reminded me of the time reflecting on the Bible when Jesus told his disciples to go forth and speak his words and they will understand. That's what happened in that room. It was overwhelming. The worksheet that they were referring to was basically a poem of self-reflection. They were asked to use adjectives, descriptive adjectives, to describe their best and worst personality traits. The first two stanzas were shared aloud. Nick had to read his in Spanish, as well as Jessica, as well as Stephanie, who's not here to break the ice. And one by one, the hands went up, and they began to share of themselves openly. It was like a window to their soul. The last stanza really changed the tempo. They were asked to reflect where they see God in the world. And what they wrote on paper was so profound for their age. I was running around the room like a madman. Everyone was calling me, can you help this child? Can you help this child? And of course I did, but there was one girl who was in the room writing very diligently, and Cheryl kept saying, can you come here, can you come here? And I'll get there, I'll get there. By the time I ran around the room, I was feeling overwhelmed by the spirit of what they wrote. And when I finally reached Cheryl and her student, I was really succumbed by what this young lady wrote. I told Cheryl I couldn't say it verbally. I had to write it down for her. After I wrote it down, we shared the paper, and the three of us just sat there and smiled a joyful smile. But allow me to read what she wrote. I see and feel the presence of God in the world most when I'm sad. He comforts me. He knows me. He knows my heart. He knows my troubles. He looks after my family. He answers my prayers. I remind myself of his promises. I no longer worry. I'm no longer sad.
Day four, we went to, some of us went to a nursing home that is in a different town called Boca Chica, and it's across the street from a school that presented us with this banner, San Jose School, and also they have a church right there as well. And I skipped the parade day. I jumped to day four. Day three, how could I forget? San Jose parade day, excuse me, back up. That was a preview. So on San Jose Day, which is St. Joseph, same as us, we have a lot to learn from them. It happened last week. We don't really do anything here for St. Joseph's Day, but they have a parade. The schools are closed, and we go in the parade with them. And one of the profound things that happened to me that I'd like to share is that there was a little girl. She was kind of, I guess she was a teenager. She was about this tall, and it was obvious that she had some developmental problems and probably was mentally delayed as well. And people kept pushing her away. You could see the townspeople all knew her, and she was kind of an outcast. And at one point in the parade, she came up next to me, and she kind of looked at me, and then I said, hola, and she looked at me and kind of made a face. And then I put my hand out, and she took my hand, and then she smiled, and she was real, you know, hesitant, but she took my hand, and then she wouldn't let it go. And, I mean, it was a grip. And then, so we walked in the parade together, and just swinging our hands, and then she started dancing, and then I started dancing, and we just paraded and paraded and paraded, and we'd come up to people that she obviously knew, and she'd raise her hand, and she'd go like this, like, see, see, see. And I mean, it was all I could do not to just be bawling through the whole parade. And we ended up back at San Jose School at the end of the parade, and we were going in there for lunch and a big party with the school children, who are obviously a little better off than she, and we couldn't let her in. We weren't allowed to let her in.
Something else we discussed during St. Joseph's Day is St. Joseph was a man who his actions spoke louder than words, and so that day we were supposed to look for a gift that somebody has, whether it's within the group or somebody we just see in the community, and what we did was wrote what we saw in that person. They didn't have to speak it, but just something you saw that showed God to you, and the whole symbolic representation of this is that we're each one link, and without each other, we're just really not much. And we need each other to be the full body of Christ.
Hola.
Hola.
The most shocking thing to me on this trip was how the children were happy with every little thing they had. And they were all just great kids. They were grateful for everything we gave them. And all they wanted to do was really help us in the end. And on the day that we painted, we were all painting like a different section of the church. And I was on the side by myself. And this kid was watching me for probably 45 minutes, just sitting there watching me in the sun. It was really hot out. And he was just watching me. We were trying to talk, but I'm not very good with Spanish. And he's, you know, they don't speak English. So I was just sitting there, and we were talking. And it was really hot, so I go to get some water. And I tell him this, and he just shakes his head, just stands there. So when I come back, he's actually painting for me. And he waited that whole time in the sun just to paint for like a minute or two when I was waiting. And he just handed me the paintbrush and walked away, which is pretty great.
Are we on day four?
We are. Yes, we are. So day four was the day that we then went to Boca Chica to the nursing home. And this is a home for the indigent elderly. They don't pay any money. And they are taken in. Father Sandino and his wife and his church try their best to take care of the residents. But they have one nurse for both shifts. And it's round the clock. And they have one aide. And it's pretty hard conditions there. And so we went in with our nurse Shannon and also Barbara McKenzie, who was with us as a nurse, and they did some mentoring of the staff and training of them and basically loving the residents and giving them some companionship. And we also did a photo project with them.
Well, I spent the day on Thursday in the nursing home. In the morning, we worked with the women. The women are on the second floor, and the men are on the third floor, and I guess never the twain shall meet. So in the afternoon, I went up, and there were some gentlemen sitting on the porch, and I went around and shook hands and introduced myself, and this one gentleman is named Enero Hernandez. He made me say it three times until I said it to suit him. So we come inside, and we're all sitting around the table. And Mr. Hernandez's daughter had come to visit him, so she was sitting with us. And we had taken the pictures. Deborah was there, and we'd taken the pictures and glued them on their frames just as we had done for the children and for the women earlier in the day. And then we were sitting around decorating, and we had some crafts and some pictures for them to color. And we were laughing, and one of them asked me how old my husband was, and I said 66, which is 66. And then they asked me how old I was, and I said 25, 25. And the whole table just cracked up, and it was that sort of a thing because this daughter had told me at this point that the gentleman was blind. And we had been told ahead of time that this particular client was very difficult and could be very combative. And so as I was cleaning up, picking up from all the crafts and all that we'd been doing, I walked behind him, and I heard him say, "Estoy contento." And his daughter turned to me and said, "My father says he is happy."
Our translator.
And let me jump in for a moment so nothing gets lost in translation. The word contento is rather unique. It doesn't just convey a feeling of satisfaction. It really means that you're pleased beyond measure. You're glad. You're joyful. You've been both filled and fulfilled.
So anyway, I have to say that of the trip, that was one of the real highlights for me because you understood with his being blind that he was probably so often cut off from what was going on, you know, around him.
You want to say something? Sure.
This is the fourth time I've been to the nursing home in Boca Chica. And when I walked in that day and I saw most of the female residents were the same ones that I had seen over the years, and I could not believe how thin they were. They were all walking 2 years ago. Now none of them walk. their eyes are vacant, the dementia has gotten worse. So we did our best to make them smile. We sang, and I was feeling really down in the dumps. So I went up to the third floor, and there was one man, the only one left from 2 years ago, Leonardo. I used to call him Leonardo da Vinci. And Leonardo saw me, and he threw his arms up, and he said, "Oh, mon Dios, como esta," you know, just hugged me, and it was like I was his long-lost friend, but he remembered me from all those 4 years ago was the first time I met him, and that made my whole day.
It's pretty powerful connections, and on the very last day, we went to, on day five, we went back to Gautier, which is a much, much poorer area, and we went into the village, and we painted the home of a very poor woman, and her house was probably as big as half of this section of our church over here. Maybe a little bigger, tin roof, cardboard kind of sides. We were afraid to hammer because it would have fallen down if we had tried to fix the boards. And I leaned against the front porch pole once, thinking it was a supporting beam, and it would have fallen over if I had really leaned on it. So that was the condition of her house, but the joy she felt was amazing. And I'll tell you about that in a minute, but I'd like for Nick to share something that happened that day.
We met a guy there who spoke fairly good English. His name was, I believe, Alberto. And he was a bigger guy, and him and I, the whole week, we joked about going to the gym, because I obviously love going to the gym. So we talked about going to the gym, and I don't remember how we found it, but we found this little, it was like a room. It was maybe 12 by 12, and it had a fence pole with two buckets of cement, and it was stuck in there, and they used that as like a bench bar. And I was like, this is crazy, and I showed Alberto, and he said, there's a bigger gym. And I said, a bigger gym? I said, can we go? And he was like, of course. So after we took our lunch break, and he walked us through the whole town, and he actually introduced us to his mother, which was really cool. Shannon had asked him, do you live around here? And he said, yes. And he was like, I'll take you. So he called his mom out, and we got to meet his mother, and we all said hi. And so we got to the big gym, and it was just so cool to see his excitement and to show me that. And so him and I, we worked out for like 5 minutes real quick just to, you know, to have some fun. And then we walked back. But it was really, really special to, he was so proud of his village. And he took us in and he showed us his sister's hair salon shop. And it was just so exciting to see him. He was telling us what this is and what that is. And we met his dog, which has no name. I asked him and he said the dog didn't have a name. But it was so exciting to see him so excited. And he didn't work for the church. He went to the church, but he was there all 3 days we were in Gautier, and he just wanted to help us help them. And he cared so much about his community that he did everything possible to be a part of making it a better place, and that was so special.
Thank you, Nick. And I'd like now for us to show you, we wrote collects while we were there, prayers while we were there, and you'll see them projected on the screen during communion time. But we're going to be praying two of them, and as all but Jessica and Tiffany now, if you would take your candles and you can place them on the altar on the ends and take your chairs after you do that, we'll prepare for them to read their prayers. And what I'd like to say is that living water that Jesus talks about with the woman at the well, the woman at the well in the gospel was the rejected ones, the ones that most people don't want to help or take care of or associate with. And what we witnessed there was joy from those outcasts to us and giving to us in profound, profound ways. Let us pray.
Dear Lord, I thank you for the gifts of laughter and love. I also thank you for the spiritual journey I went on through this mission trip, as well as the close bond the team made through memories that will never be forgotten. To be able to love unconditionally in your fellowship is something I am thankful for every day. Allow me to bring forth the mission spirit into my everyday life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Spirit, thank you for showing me the difference I can make in the lives of these children.